I'm here with Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of The Deran. Alexander, let's take a look at Mike Bloomberg. And there's a debate tonight, so we're filming this the night of the debate. And Bloomberg is going to participate. He bought his way in. It's no surprise. He's got $64 billion, $65 billion. And he's pretty much buying the nomination. Now, there's an interesting article via Tom Lungo's site, which I recommend everyone to check out this article. It's entitled, Mike Bloomberg, Trojan Horse for Clintonista Revival. And let me read you a couple of the paragraphs. Really, the whole article's great, and I'm just going to pick out some paragraphs, and you can comment on it. Alexander, it's been obvious to me since he declared that Mike Bloomberg is not a serious candidate for the Democratic nomination. He is everything the Democratic base doesn't want. White billionaire oligarch, Wall Street, 00001 percenter. Oh, and until just a couple of years ago, he was a Republican. Billionaires like Bloomberg change parties to wherever they see their money will go the farthest. Right now, that is the quickly fracturing Democrats who are staring at a revolt to Bernie Sanders that doesn't sit with Wall Street at all. It's also obvious that Bloomberg is animated by personal animus towards Donald Trump that I suspect is as much about Mike's ego as it is his desire to protect Wall Street from having any of its dirty laundry aired during a Trump second term. Because with the failure to convict Trump in the Senate, those that were behind the coup attempt are now uniquely exposed to his retribution. And that trail of tears for all involved leads right back up to Hillary Clinton's poison garden of a 2016 presidential bid. With the Democratic presidential field a uniquely inept mix of the hopeless and insane, Bloomberg using saturation advertising to buy himself wins in delegate-rich states with weak Democratic parties like North Carolina, Florida, and Texas is a good strategy. If he was interested in winning, but he's not. He's running to clear the field for Hillary, Alexander.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I'm not into Bloomberg's mind, but it makes complete sense. I mean, there's a lot of things there that need to be unpacked. Firstly, I think Tom Lungo is absolutely right that there is a great animus between Bloomberg and Trump. Bear in mind, they're both New Yorkers, and there is that sort of general antipathy. The other thing is, of course, Bloomberg's base background is in the financial world. Trump is not part of the financial oligarchy. He came from construction, from building things. Makes him a completely different kind of billionaire, if you like, to the kind of billionaire that Bloomberg is. So and also, if we go back to the Clintons, if you go all the way back to the origins of the Clinton campaign, I mean, they were clearly way back in the 90s, very, very close to the financial oligarchy in New York and in Wall Street. And that connection has always been a very, very strong one. And then, of course, we've had these very strange rumors, which have not been, I think, completely denied, that Bloomberg was considering making Hillary Clinton his vice presidential nominee. So it makes sense. Bloomberg is not a radical Democrat. He would look upon a Democratic Party led by Bernie Sanders with horror. I don't think there's any question about that. He doesn't like Donald Trump. I don't really see why he wants to be president, given how immensely rich he is. And he's not, it seems to me, a natural politician at all. He was mayor of New York for a time, but mayors of New York don't generally become presidents. That's been my experience. And anyway, that's a very different sort of role from becoming president. So is he keeping the seat warm for Hillary? Is he preparing the ground for Hillary Clinton to step in whilst all the other candidates are eliminated? It's entirely possible. I mean, it would make complete sense. It's exactly the kind of thing that wouldn't surprise me in the slightest, because all of the other candidates that the Democrats have been putting up, people like Buttigieg, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, and of course Biden and all the others, none of them remotely look convincing And anybody who's been following Hillary Clinton and the things she's been saying would come away with the view that this person has not lost her ambitions to be president at all. And besides, and this is where I think Tom Longo is spot on, she's also got lots of things to be concerned about and to want to hide. So all of these reasons coming together make it entirely possible, it seems to me, that there is a kind of Bloomberg-Clinton axis emerging. Certainly, the kind of people that Bloomberg is pitching to are the sort of people who would have supported Hillary in 2016 within the Democratic Party. So there is clearly an overlap there. Whether, as I said, he's actually preparing the ground for her or not, we shall see. It doesn't look like a very real campaign to me. I'm talking about Bloomberg now.
I agree with you. Let me read you some more from Tom's piece here. Because the fight over these early states are as much about splitting the delegate count as possible to strip Bernie Sanders of his chance at the nomination, Hillary is still angry at Bernie for challenging her in 2016. She still wants another chance to further her life's ambition. And if she can screw over all the men that she feels denied her that, then it will be all the sweeter when it happens. Because honestly, Bloomberg isn't interested in being president any more than I am. He's 78. He's not campaigning. What he's doing is a pantomime of a campaign covering for a very sophisticated form of campaign finance evasion. And he's doing it to figure out what is necessary for a centrist Democratic candidate to say and where to steal electoral college votes from Donald Trump in November. Bloomberg is spending his money today knowing that a targeted campaign which can figure out how to undermine Trump where he is strong can shift the map enough to sneak out a victory. So Mike will spend more than $1 billion as an in-kind contribution to the DNC in the form of campaign advertising to get this done. So Alexander, he's trying to finance the defeat of Donald Trump and pave the way for Hillary Clinton.
I think it's a very insightful commentary, and I think this is exactly the way that the Bloomberg campaign looks to me also. If I could just say something, I mean, I agree with Tom Longo. I don't think he really wants to be president. I don't think he wants Bernie Sanders, and I don't think he wants Donald Trump. If he doesn't want to become president himself, whom does he want? Logically, that leaves Hillary Clinton as the only person left standing, once people like Buttigieg and Joe Biden and all those people are eliminated, because that would make a kind of logical sense. The only thing I would say is Bloomberg also seems a man of incredible vanity, and one does wonder whether such a vain man, if he sees that his campaign is gaining some kind of traction, would want to actually, step aside and allow Hillary to take his place. We will see. The one thing I would say about all of this is that I think that it is a fundamental fallacy that you can win elections in the United States simply and only by spending money. I want to make it very clear that obviously, if you're able to spend lots and lots of money, as Bloomberg can, that will take you a very long way. And you cannot realistically hope to win a campaign in the United States unless you spend a lot of money. But it seems to me that the United States is a complicated country and a sophisticated one. And I think there comes a point beyond which the more money you throw, the less effect it has. It's like, you know, you're putting money, you're investing in the same thing again and again and again, and the return on your investment starts beyond a certain point to not be very good. And I think that trying to do this, to outspend and outvote, if you like, someone like Joe Biden or Pete Buttigieg, I think it can work. I think pitched against those sort of people, Bloomberg can probably bury them under the mountain of cash that he's pouring, you know, into this. I think against Bernie Sanders, it might be able to work, because The Democratic Party establishment is also working for him. And I think the combination of Bloomberg's money and the Democratic Party, the DNC, together might be more than enough to stop Bernie Sanders. Against Donald Trump, who has the Republican Party working for him, I think it's a completely different story. I think Donald Trump has repeatedly shown that he's able to dominate the media. You know, all he has to do is tweet and he gets all the headlines. He has this skill for speaking in a way that, you know, attracts attention and wins over middle America, which Bloomberg simply doesn't have in any shape or form. And I think that I think that in that kind of contest, if it comes down to a contest between Bloomberg's money and Donald Trump's skills in campaigning and public relations and in exercising the common touch, well, you know, I'm not perhaps an investor in Bloomberg's brilliance, but I would still put my money on Trump, frankly. And if the idea is, you know, Bloomberg knocks out Biden, Buttigieg, Bernie Sanders, and, you know, leverages Hillary Clinton in, then I wouldn't just put my money on Donald Trump. I'd double that money even more, because I don't think it's any doubt at all in that kind of situation. That, I mean, you know, just picture it. I mean, you know, combination Hillary, crooked Hillary, and what's he calling him, Mini Mike or something like that?
Mini Mike,
and all his billions. I mean, you know, Trump will have them for breakfast. That's my own personal view.
Well, let me read you the last couple paragraphs, last three or four or five paragraphs from Tom's piece, because it's so good. But he actually focuses in on not a Bloomberg Hillary combination, but perhaps once Bloomberg does his work and knocks out everybody else and Hillary steps in, then she, you know, dispatches with Bloomberg and puts in Buttigieg. And then, of course, you have the Bernie dynamic, where we're going to find out if Bernie really is a revolutionary or if, once again, he is going to fold in line like he did in 2016. Let me read you the last couple of paragraphs and you can close out the video, Alexander. So be a little patient while I read this out, because this is really a good part of the post. It's clear the DNC want Hillary and another beta male, Pete Buttigieg, whatever his name is, as her running mate. So less than 48 hours after Drudge breaks this story, and he's referring to the story of the farmers and what Bloomberg said about the farmers, video of Bloomberg just happens to show up and go viral, showing him saying disparaging things about farmers and metal workers. To top it off, he wants to save healthcare by letting old people die. That was another video that came out of him saying that old people, you know, we should just dispatch with them as well, because they're a cost. We all know Mike hates poor people. He's a geezer auditioning for the top job in the U.S. who hates old people. He's a thorough authoritarian and corporatist whose disdain for the plebiscite is palpable. Nothing says U.S. presidential material like the blatant disregard for human suffering. On second thought, maybe Mike is the perfect candidate. All of this was known before, so why these things now? These videos and quotes are out there to undermine him, casting him in the role of the out-of-touch oligarch. This is designed to outrage the deplorables. It's designed to put a cap on Mike's likability. It gives Hillary a wedge to drive in and say, no, Mike, you can be my running mate. Mike Bloomberg, billionaire entrepreneur, media mogul, three-time mayor of New York, bond vigilante, beta cuck. So thoroughly Hillary. This way, he can have his turn as the front runner, rising far enough on his money to earn some delegates and ensure a brokered convention, then hand them to Hillary as a gracious peace offering. This is about manufacturing Hillary as the unity candidate of a failing Democratic Party while sidelining Bernie in the process. That's the game plan, folks. It's not tough, honestly. If it wasn't all so painfully obvious, it would almost be clever, but it's not, because these people simply don't understand why no one likes them, because they suck. Bloomberg, Hillary, Biden, Warren, Buttigieg, Booker, Harris, and the rest of these crazies, including Bernie, they all suck. Bernie may be honest that he's a commie, but that's what makes him unelectable. if a little more likable. And for 2020, the DNC would rather roll the dice with two-time loser Hillary, ensuring a candidate acceptable to Wall Street wins, than put Bernie up as the nominee. Because no matter what happens, the Democrats become the commie and crazy cat lady party with Bernie as the nominee. And that creates clear delineation between them and the Republicans. But that's the worst possible result, because the most important thing to Bloomberg, Hillary, and those they represent is that the illusion of choice between globalist dirtbags remains in place. This is the true face of democracy in the U.S. That's the key to understanding the game he and Hillary are playing. And once you see that for what it is, there's no unseeing it. If Bernie sees it clearly, then he will take his bros, extend his hand to Gabbard, and run an independent campaign to split the blue wall and destroy these people for real. If he doesn't, then he's the same feckless schmuck I pegged him to be in 2016. Either way, this is now Hillary's nomination, and Bloomberg is the latest goat on its way to be on its way to her altar. That's the end. Alexander, thank you for your patience. What do you make of that?
Oh, well, I think it's extremely astute. And I mean, I should say, by the way, that I've been reading in the, mainstream media now talk about brokered conventions. So, and what is Bloomberg's policy, what's his program, what is his intention? He's clearly building up towards a brokered convention, because no, he's not really campaigning. He's not going out in, asking people to vote for him. Nothing so simple as that. He's buying votes, essentially. He's buying delegates. So he's trying to stop anyone else going into that convention with enough delegates to come out as the Democratic Party's choice. And that presumably gives him great leverage. And yes, who would be the person to come in? The unity candidate, well, might be indeed Hillary and people like that. And I'm pretty sure that if it came to push, I can very well imagine that Hillary Clinton would say to Bloomberg, look, you're not going to win. You don't have the skills. You don't have the interest. That's not what you're about. Let me be the candidate and you can be vice president. It might, I can envisage all of this. I'm going to say one thing. I think Tom Longo is absolutely right. I think if Bernie Sanders stands back and simply lets it happen,
Again,
then frankly, he will be exposed as the Pied Piper of American politics, who pulls all the people of America, the young people of America especially, to the left and then hands them over again to Hillary Clinton. If he does that, then as I said, I don't think he will just be a discredited figure. I think he will be a terminally discredited figure, and he will do huge damage to the American political system. If the Democratic Party carries out that kind of stitch up, which is clearly directed at him, then the only honorable thing for him to do is for him to stand as president in independent and take on the discredited Democrats with Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And that would offer the American people the real choice. Now, I've said this so often on our programs, far beyond any question of who's right and who's wrong in elections, which is especially American elections, where, as I said, I don't vote. What I want to see in democracies are genuine political choices. It's a point that Tom Longo is making. That means a choice between a real left and a real right, not this constant, militant, aggressive center that controls the political process by being so ruthless and conniving and manipulative. And if this kind of scenario that Tom is talking about is the one that plays out, that would be not just conniving and manipulative, it would also be beyond corrupt, because we would have money used first to buy the Democratic Party's nomination and ultimately in an attempt to buy the presidency of the United States. I said I don't think it would work, But, you know, that's what it would be. It would be using money to deprive the American people of a choice. And it seems to me that in that kind of situation, it is absolutely Bernie Sanders' duty to give the American people that choice by standing for President of the United States as an independent, even if the price of that is splitting the Democratic Party. It would be a split out of which something good might eventually happen. Because I predict that in that kind of a situation, despite all the, you know, the inherited strength, if you like, that the Democratic Party machine has, I suspect that in that kind of situation, the American people would prefer the real alternative to Donald Trump, who's Bernie Sanders, to the phony one, which is the stitch-up Democratic Party, which we would have seen. And of course, if an independent standing on a left-wing platform outpolls in a presidential election the candidate, the official candidate of the Democratic Party, we would then have a genuine revolution, political revolution in America, and that would finally and once and for all break this awful system that has begun, that has been created in the United States ever since Bill Clinton came from Arkansas and established triangulation and all of that as the mechanism whereby presidents get elected in the United States. Donald Trump would have opened the door, and Bernie Sanders would have pushed it even further open. So that's, it seems to me, Bernie Sanders' duty. If he doesn't see it, he doesn't understand it, then I think he will have not just destroyed everything he's ever stood for, but I think that he will be remembered in America as, frankly, somebody who not just let the American people down, but somebody who shamefully let them down.
Well said, Alexander. Well said, Tom, in your article as well. I'll put a link for that article in the description box down below. And come the convention in Milwaukee with the Democrats, I think a lot of masks will come off and a big curtain will be pulled. Let's see. I'm excited to see what happens.
Oh, I think so. I mean, the one thing I would say about all of this is it's extreme. I mean, you know, sitting and watching this from a distance in London, this is the most extraordinary theater. I mean, it really is. I mean, but, you know, if I'm an American, if I was an American, I would care and I would be very concerned at seeing the way in which billions are being thrown at this election, you know, in a way that seems to be intended to deny the American people a proper choice.
There's a purpose in everything, Alexander. There's a purpose in everything, and I think soon all will be revealed. Yeah. It's going to be revealed at the convention.
Yes. Yes.
Plain and simple.
I agree.
All right, Alexander McCurs, Editor-in-Chief of The Deran. Thank you very much, guys. If you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on the notifications bell. Smash that like button. Please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar, because we are getting demonetized with every single video we do, and your donations really help out this channel and helps keep us going, as well as going to the Deran shop and picking up merchandise like a polo that Alexander's wearing, that blue polo with the Deran eagle embroidered.
And absolutely, Alex, and you can see that once again, I'm wearing one of my amazing Deran polo shirts. I would remind our viewers, those who follow our programs, that I've just been to Berlin, and I've had a magnificent time in Berlin wearing my magnificent Deran 100% cotton, exceptionally stylish polo shirts, because they are the greatest polo shirts you will find anywhere. In any shop, I say that without hesitation, as somebody who has always been a well-dressed man about town. And you cannot be a better dressed man about town if you're wearing one of these. And it isn't just our magnificent polo shirts you will find on our shop. You will find also other shirts. You'll find long-sleeved T-shirts, short-sleeved T-shirts, V-neck shirts, all 100% cotton, all beautifully made. you know, or with the Durand double-headed eagle that you will find there. There's also our magnificent Durand mugs, which we've shown you so many times. You can also find those on our shop, and of course they are the best mugs you will find anywhere in any place. And you will also find other great things like our hoodies, stickers, hats, and you will find our amazing ebooks, which we discuss all of these sorts of topics that we discuss in our programs, but in greater detail. So if you come to our shop, you're doing exactly what Alex said. You are supporting us because we are under enormous pressure all the time from all sorts of quarters. And at the same time, you help yourself by becoming the proud owner of these great things. So come to our shop, support the Durand, help the Durand, help yourself, be the proud owner of these things, be the smart-looking man about town by wearing one of these great polo shirts. Alex will tell you how to do it.
Go to thedurandshop.com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. Alexander Mercurius, editor-in-chief of The Durand, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.